Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, welcome back, my precious audience. If you remember last program, we talked a lot about the prodigal son. And this story touches my heart in a deep way because it manifests to us the passionate love of God toward us sinners. The story of the prodigal son recorded in the gospel according to Jesus' disciple Luke chapter 15. A father has two sons. The younger son asks the father for his inheritance, and the father grants his son's request. He did not want to force him to stay with the family. The younger son is prodigal, wasteful. He took the money, squanders his fortune, eventually became destitute. The younger son was forced to return home empty-handed and intends to beg his father to accept him back as a servant. Just imagine with me what happened. To the son's surprise, the father did not reject him, but welcomed him back with celebration. I love it. I love this story that Jesus shared with his disciples and with us included. Even though the prodigal son's sin broke his relationship with his father, the father did not ask him to earn his forgiveness. Jesus is teaching us in this parable that God's love for each one of us is never rooted in our worthiness. I'm so glad because I am not worthy of God's love, but rather God's love for us is rooted in his own nature. Because the Bible told us clearly, God is love. We are accepted by grace. Share that with your Muslim friend. We are accepted by grace alone. Certainly, Jesus is teaching that God's love is undeserved. God loves the sinners and eagerly awaits the return and the repentance. The Heavenly Father patiently waits for the return of even the worst sinner because he loves people regardless of their own unworthiness. God, as described in the Bible, does not love only those who love him. Like we read in the Quran, God demonstrated his inexhaustible love in action. And that demonstration was costly. My friend, God knows you completely and loves you unconditionally. And he wants you to enjoy his love. Muslims usually think that they give perfect form of worship to God because they bow down five times a day and they fast and so forth. We have very important question here. What is the perfect form of worship our Creator desires we give him? We need to ask our Muslim friends that, and we ask ourselves that question. Is it the mere performance of religious duties, fasting, praying, giving some of our money to the cause of God, reading God's word, going to place of worship, etc.? I say, of course, this is not the most perfect form of worship because God knows that it is possible for someone to perform all these religious duties and at the same time not have a heart and a mind dedicated to God, right? Because we saw so many religious people, even believers in God, serve God out of wrong motives, such as fear, They are frightened from God, such as habit they are used to, such as pride, or even prospect of reward. They just want to make money. They don't serve God because they love God or because they love people. God knows that our mere performance of religious duties does not necessarily mean that we are surrendering or submitting our lives completely to God. We need to help our Muslim friend know and help even all our non-Christian friends discover that Jesus revealed to us the perfect form of worship that God desired we give him. Matthew, one of Jesus' close disciples, recorded in chapter 22, a Jewish man asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, immediately, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Jesus taught us that loving God with our whole being is what God desires of us in worshiping him. Jesus also taught us that if we truly love God, we will express our love through obeying him and serving him. Of course, in the Injil, in the Gospel, God is not just asking us to obey him, but he is asking us first to fall in love with him. And as a natural result of loving him, we will want to obey his commandments. Loving God the way Jesus taught us is the perfect form of worship because it means giving God our emotions, our thoughts, our will, and our goals, and living to please him every day of our lives. Now, many Muslims will tell you, of course, we love God. Do you think you Christians, the only people love God? We love God. There are two important issues here that we need to discuss. Is it possible for a believer to give God this perfect form of worship? Two, is God worthy to receive such love? In other words, who is this God that asks me to give him my life and love him supremely? And we will talk about these two questions in our next program. But before I run out of time, I want to remind my audience that our sins and everything wrong we do or say is an act of aggression against God because it is against God's eternal plans for mankind. We needed to be reconciled with God because the consequences of the wrong things we did is separation from God's presence, which means suffering and death. The Bible told us that God cannot tolerate sin. We read in the Bible very clearly that the consequence of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' sacrifice maintained the honor of God's law, which we broke, and maintained the honor of the truth that God revealed to us. Through Jesus' sacrifice, all obstacles has been removed to reconciliation on the part of God. God is offering you to have peace with him as a gift through Jesus Christ. We read in the gospel, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a gift. However, a gift is not yours until you receive it. We need to break now. However, there is more to come in just a moment.
You're listening to Sammy Tanago, founder and president of Glad News for Muslims Ministry. Sammy's calling is one, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, and two, to equip Christians to do the same. The value of a ministry is in the eternal fruits God has enabled the ministry to produce. The proof is in the changed lives. God has been using the messages he inspires Sammy to share to equip his Christian audience. God has also been using the book titled, glad news, God loves you, my Muslim friend, which he guided Sammy to write, to equip Christians, and to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. We encourage you to examine the evidence on our website, gladnewsministry.com. Again, you'll find Sammy's book, videos, contact information for inviting Sammy as a guest speaker, and more at gladnewsministry.com. And please, as God guides you, let others know about our unique ministry and radio programs. Now, once again, here's Sammy.
Welcome back, my wonderful audience. I call you wonderful because you are listening to Christian Radio, especially our unique program on sharing Jesus effectively with Muslims. And many of you contact me, and we are able to do ministry together, and I am excited. Today's program is really wonderful program, like all the past programs, but maybe more wonderful, because it relates to our love toward God. Many Muslims think that they have genuine love toward God, and we ask Muslims, and we want to discuss with our Muslim friends two important questions, issues. The first one is it possible for a believer to give God perfect form of worship and love him with his own being? Is it possible? Question number two, is God worthy to receive such love? In other words, who is this God that asks me to give him my life and love him supremely? Because love God with our whole being is the perfect form of worship that God requires that we give him. The perfect form of worship is not performing some religious duties. Because a person can perform some religious duties while his heart and the mind is not dedicated to God. We know that. People can try to perform religious duties out of wrong motives, like habit, pride, prospect of reward. However, Jesus revealed to us that the greatest commandment is to love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, our whole being. So Muslims say, okay, we love God. Well, we need to answer these two questions that I mentioned. When we discuss the first one, is it possible for the Muslim believer to wholeheartedly love God? We need to help our Muslim friends recognize that according to the Quran, God is the master and believers is treated only as slaves. In Arabic, abd. Slave mean abd in Arabic. For example, we read in the Quran, not one of the beings in heaven and the earth, but must come to Allah most gracious as abd, slave. Well, a slave or a servant works to earn a place in his master's house. The slave does not work because he loves his master, but primarily for his own benefits and rewards. I know that very well. Actually, while I was writing my book, God reminded me that when I was a child, my parents had a servant. One of her duties was to make sure that I went to sleep in bed at certain time, early, so I can wake up fresh for school, in order to make me fall asleep quickly so she could go watch TV. She would tell me a scary story, saying that the boogeyman or evil spirit would come to my room if I didn't fall asleep right away. I don't think she really loved me or loved my parents. For years, I was afraid to be in a dark room alone. I think I'm still traumatized by this horrible experience. Just kidding, kind of. Okay, according to Islam, God's acceptance of the believer is conditional upon the Muslim's performance of religious duties. However, even if the believer lived all his life trying to perform all the religious duties, nevertheless, Allah still has the right to dismiss the believer and not accept the believer in heaven. That's a tragedy. And I remembered another story. When I was a child growing up in Egypt, I remember becoming friends with one of the servants hired by my parents. He fixed my bicycles many times. We played soccer on the same team. He would climb trees to pick fruits to give them to me. One day, I heard my parents talking on the balcony while drinking coffee. They had decided to dismiss my servant friend and send him back to his village. I cried, told my parents he was doing a good job. They answered me, "Why are you crying, Sammy? Why are you getting emotional? He is just a servant." Aha. You see, my friend, this relationship of slave or servant with his master is not conducive to heartfelt love. Genuine love cannot come from or to a servant or slave mentality. Okay, remember that. We read another verse in the Quran. Those who dispense their charity with their hearts full of fear because they will return to their Lord. Aisha, one of Muhammad's wives, his favorite wife, asked Muhammad, "O apostle of God, is the one who is afraid of God, the one who commits adultery, steals, drinks wine, thus he is afraid of punishment?" Muhammad told her, "No. He is the one who prays, fasts, and gives alms. Thus, he is afraid that God may not accept these things from him." Wow! What a tragedy! The Quran describes God as an unpredictable judge. We read another verse in the Quran. Allah leads astray those whom he pleases and guides whom he pleases. Wow. In the Quran, God never promises complete forgiveness of the believer's sins. He does not guarantee believers eternal life with him in paradise, except if they were killed fighting the enemy of God, what they view as enemies of God. This is a tragedy. That's how many Muslims believe in committing suicide bombs and committing terrorist acts against those whom they view as enemies because they feel this is the only way that they know that they're going to make it to paradise. Other than that, there is no guarantee. Actually, I was researching this issue in the most credible Islamic sources in Arabic. God gave me this advantage as an ex-defense lawyer in Egypt. I was able to go to the Arabic Islamic sources written by the most credible Muslim theologians in Egypt. And I read Abu Bakr, one of Muhammad's closest companions. Muslims believe him to be the most exalted person after the prophets, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was elected to be the Muslim leader, caliph, after Muhammad's death, but he was frightened about his own eternal destiny. It's a tragedy. I read one of the most famous Islamic books titled Teachings of Islam. In the chapter entitled The Fear of Allah, Abu Bakr was quoted as saying, "O bird, how lucky you are. You eat, you drink, and fly under the shade of the trees, and you fear no reckoning of the Day of Judgment. I wish I were just like you." Wow. Abu Bakr also said, "I swear to God that I do not feel safe from God's cunning, deceitfulness, even if one of my feet is already inside paradise." Wow, what a tragedy. When the resurrection and paradise or hell was mentioned in his presence, Abu Bakr said, "I wish I were a tree eaten by an animal. I wish I had never been born." Obviously, he was frightened of God. What a tragedy. My friend, he was frightened because he knew that he was a sinner. And not only him, but all of us acted at times unjustly and pridefully in an arrogant way, manifesting the sin which dwells in our heart. We all at one time or another gave ourselves the permission to do wrong things. My friend, the wonderful news in the gospel, Jesus took all the punishment that we deserve for all the sins, for everything wrong we committed. Jesus' death on the cross satisfied God's righteous justice in regard to our sin. The wonderful news that we read in the gospel is recorded by John, one of Jesus Christ's closest disciples. We read in chapter 6, Jesus promised and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." My friend, I invite you right now to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. Rest of my audience, remember, we are one family, one team. It doesn't matter that we worship in different churches, but we still, in God's eyes, according to God's word, we are his family, and God wants us to serve him together. If I can help you in any way, contact me. If your church needs a speaker to equip the church further, contact me. I might be able to speak at your church. In Jesus' name we pray, God, use us for the salvation of multitudes of people, including Muslims.
I have a coworker who I can consider somewhat of a friend, who's a Muslim. We talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible. I would love to be more knowledgeable and try to help him concerned. But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament. I had given him a Bible, so I don't know. You know, hopefully he still has that in his house.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. And he's written a book titled, "God Loves You, My Muslim Friend." Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sammy Tanaho on "God Loves You, My Muslim Friend."
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. Thank you for listening. The phone number we share is my personal number, and I am available to offer you encouragement to share Jesus with your Muslim friends and family. That number, once again, 714-514-2558. If God puts it on your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sammy Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.